Thank you, Spencer. Cool. I didn't, you know, I rapped about your grandma car when you spoke. I guess it was a week after you spoke. So I was kind of hoping you'd say something about my grandpa hair or something. I don't know, but that's all right. It'll be okay. My grandpa hair. Yeah. It is so good to be here, and so excited for everything that's happening. God's doing great things in so many lives, and it's just awesome. We have people that are getting radically touched by God. His hand is moving. We've got to pray with a bunch of people to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and to see what God does there as he's blowing people up, lighting people up. It's absolutely amazing. I just love that we serve a miracle-working, alive, not dead God. He's absolutely amazing. It's crazy cool stuff. It's been an interesting weekend, I know, before the weekend even got here. It sort of felt that way between Halloween last night and then All Saints Day today. As somebody going, I know what Halloween is. I don't know what All Saints Day is. And so just a little thing real quick. Halloween is actually in response to All Saints Day. November 1st, All Saints Day. That's today where we celebrate it. And it is it's a holiday put together by the church. It's actually celebrated. It's a day off in a lot of countries, not ours. We don't really celebrate that stuff as much. We have a hard time celebrating Christmas, you know, now and all that stuff. It's just pretty focused on Christ, right, and all that. But All Saints Day is a holiday that started about the 4th century A.D., of course, where the church was going, hey, there are amazing people that have laid down their lives for the faith, for the Christian faith. It's crazy, amazing stuff. We want to remember them, honor them. There's some of the big names that kind of get their own special day sometimes, whatever. But there's a lot of people that are sort of anonymous that we need to remember. They'd be kind of forgotten otherwise, that laid down their lives for us, that our faith might stand and continue from generation to generation. And that's the whole point of November 1st and All Saints Day. And so people that don't serve Christ, people that are into witchcraft, all that stuff and everything, thought, this is a crazy, amazing day for them, and we need to do something in response. And so Halloween, All Hallows Eve, where the saints were hallowed on November 1st, so All Hallows Eve, Halloween, began as a response to that, and it's a day where there's kind of more crazy witchcraft, all that stuff happens, than any other day of the year. It's kind of crazy, profound stuff. And so we don't really celebrate Halloween as much. We did our harvest carnival last night and everything. And, you know, I know a lot of us are kids. We don't understand what's going on there and all that and whatever. We don't, you know, and all that. But it's interesting to look at the history. When I was a kid, a lot of you know, I was one of 9 children. And we were poor. We were so poor we couldn't afford the last two letters in the word poor. We were just poor. You know, that's what it means to be poor. And so I was the oldest boy, second oldest of 9. And so we had to make our costumes, which, you know, there's... There's nothing worse than showing up at someone's house trying to scare them and they laugh at you. You know, they're like, oh, that's really, what are you? You know, you're like, I'm a refrigerator art. Mom says the same thing to me. What did you do? You know, there, what is that? What? Anyway, so I was going to be a newscaster one year. And so I was going to make, out of a cardboard box, I was going to make a TV and I was going to be on TV. This is back in the day. Somebody going, how could you fit in a flat screen? Okay, they didn't have flat screens back then. Thank you so much. There are these big, huge boxes, all right, with projection and everything. And so I was going to cut this hole out and be a newscaster. Well, cutting the hole out, making my costume, I slipped with a knife, cut my finger really badly. This one over here. It was pretty bad, so we had to go to the hospital, got stitches. And while the rest of my siblings that were old enough went and got candy and everything, did all that stuff and everything, I was at the hospital getting stitches. And so they wrapped it all up big time and all that. And so I had this big bandage on my pinky. And then when I got home, Dad's like, hey, we'll still take you out and so you can get candy and everything. I'm like, thanks, Dad, you know, and everything. So I grabbed my cardboard box. I think Dad at that point goes, let me finish it. Put down the knife, son. All right, so we finished my little TV, and I went out there. Now, the thing is that so I'm carrying this little TV thing that I'm in as a newscaster, okay, like this, with my pinky, which is wrapped, looking about the size of my arm, okay, at that point. You know, I might even put a little ketchup on the bandage, I don't know, for drama and everything. And so every door, I'd ring the doorbell, people come to the door, and they go, oh, and they'd see my hand, they go, what happened? I go, I was making my costume. You know, I'm like, this is a pathetic newscaster, but when you've got it, you got to work it, okay? So I was making my costume because we're too poor to buy them, so I was making one, and I cut myself. I got stitches, but I'm okay. You know, and they're like, oh, you know, and they're like, well, it's kind of late anyway. Just take it all, and they dump it in my bag. I'm like, thank you. I'm feeling better. You know, who's the richest person on your block? You know, head there next. You know, I had a haul. It was crazy. I had like 8 other siblings out there that night. They didn't touch the candy haul that I had. You know, I brought it home. They're like, you know, it's in a wheelbarrow, and they're like, Dad, make him share. You know, I'm like, never. You know, I got stitches for this. So that was my experience with Halloween. Now we celebrate All Saints Day and everything, but it's a great day to remember the people that have paid a price for us that our faith might stand. And it's really cool. I know we kind of glossed over it pretty quickly. So our next holiday is Thanksgiving. Okay, and we talk about Thanksgiving and giving thanks, all that and everything. So in keeping with being grateful for people who have laid down their lives for us and all that, and moving into Thanksgiving, we're doing a little bit of a series. We'll be sharing about Malawi and missions and stuff in the next couple weeks, several things, and talking about being thankful, which is always appropriate. So we're going to look at that a little bit tonight, okay? Now, in case you're going, hey, well, people that are martyred for their faith and all that stuff, that's just a thing of the past and everything. It's not at all. In 2018, there were 4,303 people worldwide, 4,303 that they know of for sure. As many as, you know, 80,000, depending on how you do the math and everything, but for sure, at least 4,000. Bless you. I know her sneeze. I'm like, oh, there she is. Everything stops. Oh, anyway, 4,303 Christians globally last year were martyred for their faith, for sure, for Christianity, all right, more than any other religion, all right? In fact, in the last 20 years, more people have died for Christianity than in known history before that. And we kind of go, well, the martyrdom thing is kind of done, right? Are people really persecuted? No, it's absolutely insane, really. All right, we have people dying for Christ at rates that we have never seen before. 2018 was 40% up from 2017. 2018, there were 245 million people severely persecuted for being Christians. 245 million. And that was up about 25% from 2017, all right? And so it's the real deal. And we celebrate All Saints Day. Remember that. We have a lot to remember. We have a lot to be thankful for. All right. We're blessed. Crazy blessed. So our scripture tonight, I'll look at a couple. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. And I kind of mixed this up. I hope to work out. But here we go. It's a little bit of it. We end up with just a little bit. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Paul goes on to say, give thanks in all things, all right? And that's what we're supposed to do. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. That's the mindset that we're supposed to have, all right? And so the title tonight is give thanks, no thank you, all right? Thanksgiving, no thank you. You know, thankfulness, no thank you. And the reason is because it's always available to us. We can always be thankful, but a lot of times the life that we live just says no thank you. And it's amazing. If we're really evaluated, all right, when we have the opportunity to be thankful, we kind of say no thank you in the middle of it. So the definition real quick, thanks is to be aware and appreciative of a benefit, to be grateful, to be expressive of gratitude, all right? It's really all it means. So it doesn't say in there at all that when something nice happens to you, then it's a great opportunity to express thankfulness. It just means to be aware and appreciative of a benefit, to be grateful, to express gratitude. And inherent in the definition of thankfulness is that there's always something to be thankful for. The question is, will we express it or not? That's really the only question. Will we express it? Will we acknowledge it or not? All right? There's always something to be thankful for. All right? Interesting thing happened recently in our family. All right? Suzanne and I actually just got back from our Christian school's soccer tournament. We had a game tonight. Our kids did, and they won. They played a great game. And everything, it's really, really fun to see and everything. It's amazing. We have some people here tonight that were on the team. Cameron was and everything. He's amazing. We miss him. We want to try to sneak him in a uniform, get him out there tonight. But they won anyway, so it's amazing. Great. Put him in.
Put me in, coach.
Shave, Cameron. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
But we went up a little bit early so we could look a little bit at cars because we had this issue coming back from the girls' volleyball tournament last weekend, all right? So Saturday night, we're coming back, and Suzanne and I, we're having a little bit of an intense discussion in the van. We don't have many of them. We're having a little one. We're kind of talking through some stuff and everything. It just happens. We're in the middle of all that and everything and talking and driving at night and everything, and all of a sudden, there's a deer in our headlights. Some of you heard this in a message last Sunday when Pastor Phil spoke, and it seriously looked like this buck. Someone had put a salt lick on the road, and he's just standing there licking it, you know, and I'm like, what? You know, it's all this is happening fast. But one of the things I'm thinking is, why is a big buck standing in the middle of the road with his head down licking the asphalt. You know, I mean, what's wrong with Idaho deer these days? You know, as Suzanne's slamming on her brakes and everything. And I talked to Chad Borg later, Carl's brother, of course, and he said, oh, he probably was, because it had snowed earlier that day, and Idaho ices that road and everything, de-ices that road with salt, okay? Because they're not going to use chemicals in Idaho. They're going to use salt, you know, yeah, you know, NACL, let's NACL it, you know, we don't want to go crazy chemicals. So they did that, put the salt down, and the state patrolman that came by told us that it was the third one that he'd been at that night, people hitting deer. He goes, everybody's hitting deer tonight. Be careful the rest of the way home. I'm like, thank you. Not sure if we remember to be careful on the rest of the way home, but pray for us. So this is our van. I think Jordan, I just gave him the pick right before CCF. Let's see if they were able to get. There it is. Here's our van. So that was a big whitetail buck. And Suzanne hit the brakes. She did a great job. Instead of swerving and rolling and us dying and everything, you know, she hit the deer, which is good. When you hit a deer, you're always like, shoot, I wish we hadn't hit the deer, all right? But if you swerve and roll, you're going, shoot, I wish we'd hit the deer, you know? That's what happens. So just, you know, it's better to hit a deer. A moose at like 100 miles an hour, maybe not, okay? But a deer at 20, she probably slowed down to 20. That's what happened, all right? So we hit this. And it's really inconvenient, okay? We got this van 2 months ago. It's a 2008 loaded Chrysler Town & Country van. Now, I know for most of you, your dream car, all right, does not have the word van in the title, all right? You're like, all right, Town & Country, that's like a lot of country and no town at all right? Let's be honest, all right? But look at those shiny chromed out wheels. Those are like 12s or something sweet, you know? Those are amazing, all right? But seriously, it's loaded. One owner, which is a big deal to us, leather all the way through. It's got, you know, the screens, all the stuff. Love it. The people that owned it, our founding pastors here, Pastor Carl Barden and his wife Sherry, they bought it brand new, all right? Senior citizens, they like changed the oil every block, all right? They're like, whoa, stop, change the oil, you know? And it took them a while to get to Walmart. They're like, we changed the oil 4 times getting here, all right? It takes a while. It took impeccable care of it. Seriously, for us, you know, we were able to, by the grace of God, write a check for it instead of taking a loan. It was a dream. We got it 2 months ago, all right? We had comprehensive on our van before that because it was more valuable. Didn't like it as much. This was our dream van, all right? And so we had comprehensive. But this one, we were like, man, we just wrote a check for it. We don't need comprehensive. We'll just have liability, okay? In case you don't know, liability means that they just pay for what you're liable for if you jack somebody else up, not for yourself, all right? You jack up your own rig, they're like, sorry, you know? And so that means we get nothing from insurance for totaling the car. We had some friends behind us picked us up, which was great. They had a really nice SUV. If it would have been awkward to load the buck into their rig, you know, hey, at least we take some meat home. Now, I know some of you are going, you didn't do that? Or, seriously? No, we didn't do that, all right? Guy that lived next door came over, took the rack and some of the meat. He's like, you're not taking that, are you? I'm like, nope. He goes, can I have it? I'm like, sure. You know, and I just sits out there, watches out the window. Honey, some good meat tonight. You know, and out there goes, seriously, they pulled up. He didn't even ask how we're doing. He's like, you going to keep it? I'm like, we're fine. Thanks so much, you know. Appreciate that. It's Idaho, you know. So we didn't keep the meat, you know. I wish we'd taken the rack. You know, Suzanne would be the big hunter of our family, you know. And I mean, it was amazing, big 4-point whitetail and everything and all that stuff. All right, it's a bummer. And so now we have to replace it, and we can't even find anything really like it. I found one in Texas, one owner. I'm like, honey, for you, I'm going to get on a plane and fly to Texas and drive a 2008 Chrysler Town & Country loaded all the way back to Pullman because I love you. It's because I love you. Because I love you. Seriously, we loved it, and it's gone. And it's kind of the sad thing. So in the middle of it all, you go, man, God, like, I mean, we, like, serve you. We tithe, usually, you know. We gave the 2020 vision. Okay, maybe 2050 vision. I don't know, it's not perfect, you know, whatever. But, I mean, like, we're pretty good people. And why? You know, it's like our dream used van. You seriously can't find one here. What's the deal? In the middle of it all, okay, and I know you're going, you know, if your life crisis is that God took your van, maybe he's good. It doesn't feel that way to us, all right? All right? And so the middle of it all and everything, where now we're looking for cars, and like, you know, we're driving nicer cars, trying, and we're like crying. We're like, it's not like our van, you know? You guys are like, this is so pathetic. I know, all right? But this is the way it feels to us and everything. In the middle of it all, you got to stop and just go, you know what, our van's totaled, but we are not, all right? And by the grace of God, the other thing is that we're not like going, oh, man, you know, it's impossible to replace. It's a car, all right? Nothing tragic happened to anyone in our family, all that. We had friends just behind us that pulled over and were able to take us home in the middle of the night and help us get everything done and wait for the state patrolman to come and say, oh, gosh, sorry, you guys. You know, and I mean, they were great. They're absolutely amazing. They're absolutely incredible. You see the hand of God all the way through it. And in the middle of life and what's going on, the truth is that we are often completely unaware of what it is that we have to be thankful for. And we're missing out huge. There's an old hymn that was written in about 1895 by this guy named Johnson Oatman. And he's probably came from like a Scandinavian family, or whatever, and he wrote this hymn, all right? And it says, count your blessings. So you're familiar with it? Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. It goes, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And he goes, count your blessings. And then most of the versions of it stop there for a second, so you can kind of count. You're like, okay. No. Seriously, they pause. Right? It's like a Selah in Psalms. You're like, one, okay, two, all right, three. Oh, it reminds me of there's four. You know. And then it picks up again. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. We were driving back, and I was listening to, there's a country version. I'm like, oh, no. You know what I'm going? I didn't expect that at all. I'm like, wow. Okay, this is not a blessing. Different version. You know, I love country music, just not that version of that hymn. It's a hymn. It's supposed to be like Gregorian chant or something, all right? We've got to pause and count our blessings in the middle of it is, whatever it is that we're going through. Because often our lives say, thankfulness, no thank you. No thank you. So, three quick points on this. What is it, the definition? It's this awareness, okay? There's this quote I love from Michael Josephson. I think we've got it up here, all right? He says this, the world has enough beautiful mountains and meadows, spectacular skies and serene lakes. It has enough lush forests, flowers and fields and sandy beaches. It has plenty of stars and the promise of new sunrise and sunset every day. What the world needs more of is people to appreciate and enjoy it. We're completely unaware so many times. So many times, God paints this beautiful, beautiful landscape, this beautiful sky around us, incredible. And we get fixated on some piece of art that we see some master painted someplace when the master of all masters has done this and we're completely unaware. We've got to stop and count your blessings. So kind of what it's supposed to be more like. It's like kind of stop and do this. Name them one by one. We just got to stop. But count our blessings and see what God has done. We miss it. We're unaware. And that's what he's talking about there. There's no more, we don't need more beauty. We just need more awareness and appreciation for what it is. It's incredible what he's done. Those who are not full of thankfulness are empty of awareness. It's a simple truth. If we're not full of thankfulness, we're empty of awareness. We go through completely fixated on the mundane and missing out on the beauty of what it is that God has done. All right, second. First, what is it? Second, why should I want it? Okay. Thankfulness. Why should I want it? This is amazing stuff. Absolutely crazy, amazing stuff. First off, the scripture tells us to be thankful in all things. All right. God knows what he's doing when he gives us a command like that. But there's so much here. H.A. Ironside says this, we would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. Love that. We need more enemies of the negative things in our lives. We need more enemies of the negative things in our lives. It's like white blood cells to just radically attacking those things that would make you sick. Thankfulness is the enemy. It is the antidote to discontent and dissatisfaction. We need thankfulness and gratefulness to rise up in our lives. Meister Eckhart said this, if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. We just look to God, and this is the sum of all of our prayers is just thank you. Thank you. Because we paused. Count your blessings. And you name them one by one. We just pause for a moment to count them. One, two, three, four, five. That would be enough. Gratitude is riches. Complaint is poverty, said Doris Day. Gratitude is, bless you. Name them one by one. Gratitude is riches. Complaint is poverty. Count your blessings. I was looking at, there's a lot of medical research that talks about thankfulness in our hearts and what happens when we're thankful, and it has a profound effect on our lives. Check this out, all right? We got 29 positive effects of thankfulness, all right? First, this is to have a better emotional life, all right? When you're thankful, okay, it makes you happier. Go figure, all right? That's my kind of thing. I can remember that, okay? When you're thankful, it makes you happier. But really, you go through your life just way more happier. You go, you know what? If I stop and count my blessings, then I'm gonna start to roll. Thankfulness rises up in me, and I'm happier, all right? It's interesting. You really can't be happy and be a whiner all at the same time, all right? When you're thankful, it reduces the symptoms of depression, all right? Medically proven. When you're thankful, you have increased resilience in your emotional life. Bad things happen. You rebound way better when there's thankfulness in your life instead of going being stuck there. When you're thankful, you have increased positivity, ration. So here's the thing, okay? There's this relationship, okay? You've got positivity and negativity, all right? And there's this ration of each in your life and everything. And it's almost like you're going to have this complete spectrum of both, and you can decide where the line between happy and negative and sad is going to be, all right? And then when you fill your life with thankfulness, then the percentage of happy just climbs and climbs and climbs and climbs and climbs. You're positive. So this negative thing starts to get stuffed back and down and shrinks, and the positive thing climbs. And they talk about this relationship between positivity and negativity in your life. And you can squash negativity by walking in thankfulness. You go, man, the positivity in your life is just crazy. It's going through the roof when we're thankful. And the last one is you have improved self-esteem. You feel way better about yourself. You want to have a radical effect on the emotions that you live in and everything, what you're going through. Your self-esteem will skyrocket when you're thankful. All right, next category. We've got four categories here. Improved physical health. This is crazy. Better sleep. When you're thankful, you sleep better. Somebody going, okay, makes sense. All right, okay. When you're thankful, you increase your exercise. People that are thankful exercise 33% more than people who are not thankful. All right? When you're you exercise more. It just affects everything in you, all right? You go, I'm going to be thankful, all right? I'm going to sleep better, I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to have better self, all this stuff. It's amazing. When you're thankful, you reduce pain in your life. There's less pain. There's a lot of us going, man, that'd be amazing. Lower blood pressure, all right? And then a stronger immune system. Immune system kicks in and is better able to fight all the stuff that's going on around us when we're thankful. It's absolutely amazing. So when you think about it, when you go, I'm probably going to get sick. You go, yeah, probably. There's no thankfulness, and your immune system is plunging. You know, it's crazy, all right? Next, improved physical health. Not continued yet. Can we back up? Oh, no, yeah, we continued. I'm sorry. There we are. Okay. Lower stress. It's amazing. We're thankful, less stress in our lives. The activation of the healing response, all right? Your body just begins to engage this healing response system-wide, and you heal better. You heal more quickly and everything when you're thankful, all right? And then last, longer life. And some of you are going, I'm not sure that's a good thing. It's a good thing. All right, trust me. You want a longer life, right? It is good. All right, next one. Improve social life. This is amazing. When you're thankful, you have stronger social connections, all right? The social connections that you have are going to be stronger. They're not going to be the kind of the weak, frail thing. They're going to be stronger in general, all right? Your likability increases. You're like, people are like, why? How could that be? You know, whatever. We like to hang out with people that are thankful and positive, right? You know, we rarely go, you know what, I just need more negative people in my life, you know. Things have been way too positive, or I'm way too healthy, sleeping too well, exercising all the time, my self-esteem is through the roof, I hate myself right now, I need more negative people in my life. Our likability goes crazy when we're thankful. You know, some people go, I don't know why nobody likes me. Oh yeah, I've got to go, all right. Well, if you have answers, come back and let me know. Probably not, you know. There we go. Social life, improved relationships, just in general. And they're talking there specifically more the strong ones. Familial relationships, the people closest to us, those are all improved, all right? And then when we're thankful, we have a more positive feedback loop. And so here's the deal with that, all right? When you're thankful, all right, you tend to be more positive toward people. They tend to respond more positively to us, all right? And when they respond positively to us, it's just sort of like when you see someone and you're like, I wonder if she likes me, you know? And so you're like, hi, and she goes, hi. And you're like, then you're like, oh, here comes the positive feedback loop. All right. Now you're a little bolder. You're like, well, hi. Hi. And she goes, hi. You know, the whole thing just snowballs. And not just with people of the opposite sex, obviously. That's not the point. All right. But we talk to somebody with this positive thing. They respond positively. We respond more positively. And this loop happens. So the whole thing just grows. It blows up. Thankfulness just changes everything, all right? And then the last. We've got our improved professional skills. This is cool. You want to do well at your job, your major, whatever you're doing. When you're thankful, you have improved decision-making. You think better. You make better decisions, all right? Life works better. You make decisions from a standpoint of thankfulness, all right, instead of, like, life completely stinks, all right? All right, so we've got this business decision to make, you know. What should we do? Sell the whole stupid thing. You're like, wow, Eeyore, okay, thank you so much. You know, we make way better decisions when we're thankful. Next, we build social capital. Social capital is this is changing the pockets of people around you. You're able to work with other people way better when you're thankful. People respond to us way better when we're thankful. It's absolutely amazing. We're more effective leaders, all right? We're more creative when we're thankful. Haven't had a good idea in a long time. Well, don't expect that to change anytime soon. All right. We're more productive when we're thankful. And we're way better at achieving our goals when we're thankful. This is just science. This is just what they're studying. This is amazing. And then we've got just a few more here. We have an improved personality when we're thankful. Go figure, all right? But this is cool. When we're thankful, we're more humble. And everybody loves humble people. We're less self-centered when we're thankful. Those things are different, related obviously, but different. Everybody loves people who are centered off of themselves and onto others. We're more kind and giving when we're thankful. We're more spiritual. Again, this is a secular study. Understand that we connect more with that which is greater than us when we're thankful. We're going to connect with God way better when we're thankful. We're less materialistic, which is fantastic. We're less clingy. We're not striving to obtain things, and instead we're freer. We're more optimistic when we're thankful. The benefits of being thankful are absolutely profound. Gratitude is riches, and complaint is poverty. And the last one here. So how do I get that? How do I do that? How do I become more thankful? Well, we just said that it's an awareness of what it is that we have to be thankful for. We get to count our blessings and name them one by one. Let's see what God has done. Francis Clark said this. I love this. This is obviously a little bit dated, but this is my kind of thinking. I love this. If a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get. That. The simplicity and profundity of that is absolutely amazing. If we're not thankful for what we've got, we're not going to be thankful for what we're going to get. We are who we are. Tomorrow never comes. We need to be aware of what we have to be thankful for today instead of waiting for our ship to come in tomorrow and finally being thankful. I love this. Psalm 50, 23. The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice. So study this out a little bit. We'll close here in just a moment. Let's study this out a little bit. Thanksgiving as her sacrifice. Look, what does it mean, sacrifice? A sacrifice of thanksgiving. So I looked up sacrifice in the original language a little bit, and it means sacrifice. It means to slaughter something, to kill something. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I was going, what on earth is that? And I was praying through that, and here's the reality, okay? Something really can't be alive and dead at the same time, right? Oh, we got a video. Let's look at the video. Some of you have seen this. It predates you, but you've seen it as well. This might help remind you.
Look who knows so much, huh? Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Please open his mouth. Now, mostly dead is slightly alive. Now, all dead, well, with all dead, there's usually only one thing that you can do.
What's that?
Go through his clothes and look for loose change.
He's only mostly dead. He's saying he's still alive, all right? He's not completely dead. And the truth is that we're either going to be thankful or we're not. We're going to be thankful or we're going to whine. We can't be thankful and whine and critical and demanding all at the same time. And so a sacrifice of thanksgiving means this, all right? We have to sacrifice the things that get in the way of us being thankful. And he goes, so what is that? Well, the truth is, the reality is, that we feel empowered somehow when we're hanging on to some things that are on the opposite end of thankfulness. We feel somehow that we're strong. We feel somehow that we have position. We feel somehow we're entitled when we're on the other end of thankful. Okay, what I mean by that is this. If your professors are all jerks and unfair and nobody can do well in their classes, all right, then you're empowered. Then somehow we're equipped, we're enabled. It's okay for us to do poorly and to whine about it. We'd rather whine about it and do poorly sometimes and really take the responsibility of going, I've got an opportunity in front of me, and I can make something of it or not. There's a lot of the planet that would love to have the opportunity that I have right now to get an education, and it's a lot of work, and I'd rather not put it in, and this is a struggle right now, and so if I could blame my prof and tell people how bad this is, then I'm in control, and things are going to be bad, and I'm just going to tell everybody they're going to be bad, and nobody's going to expect it to be any different, and somehow we feel good in that place. Somehow we feel safe in that place. It's less vulnerable than saying, let me do the best that I can. It's less vulnerable than saying, I've got an opportunity. What am I going to do with it? It's less vulnerable than saying, it's time for me to sort of man up and do something with this whole thing. It's easier to say I'm a victim of this mess than to say there's an opportunity for victory here. There is no victory without a battle. And the sacrifice of Thanksgiving says, I'm going to put to death every bit of victimization, whine, complaint, bitter, cynical, and be aware of what it is that God has given me and the opportunity that's in front of me, and thank him. The sacrifice of Thanksgiving says everything else is going to be put to death. A car, oh, it's our dream van. It's gone, buddy. It can't be mostly dead. It's got to be dead. I can't be thankful for God and his grace and his mercy and his blessing and sit around and whine about it at the same time. It can't be mostly dead. If it's dead, you go through the glove compartment, you get the loose change, and you walk away. If it's mostly dead, you're like, oh, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. God, why? He's saying, are you aware of what it is that I did for you? My hand of protection on your life? How I've blessed you? He pauses and from the heavens says to us, count your blessings. And we go, oh yeah. The sacrifice of praise says, I'm letting go of my demandingness, and I'm going to be aware and thankful for what God has done, one by one by one. And I'm going to put on the altar every bit of demandingness, every bit of self, everything that I require. And say, who am I to demand anything of the God who has done nothing but bless me? Thank you. If that's the sum of all my prayers, it's enough. Thank you. Let's have the band come. Now, if you would. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. Let's pray. God, we want to glorify you. We want to bring you the honor and praise that's due your name. We want to let go of every bit of demandingness and just say thank you. And God, some of us have a past we're clinging to, saying that if it wasn't for that, things would be okay. And that needs to be part of our sacrifice of thanksgiving right now. Some of us, things haven't been going very well in a lot of different spheres in life right now. Some relationships with school, some work stuff, some roommate stuff, whatever it is that it might be. And we're allowing that to kind of be the thing that we're clinging to define us and to say, you know, life's not working and I've got all kinds of great reasons why. And that needs to be part of our sacrifice of thanksgiving tonight as we lay it down and not let it be just mostly dead, but completely dead so that we can say, thank you. God, let that be our prayer. God, we let go tonight of selfishness, of demandingness, of conceit. If everything that we believe we're entitled to, right now we just lay it down so that we can say, as those things are put to death, God, you are alive and well, and praise and thankfulness is alive and well in us, and we can say, as we look to you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, that is our sacrifice of praise and worship tonight. We come in thankfulness, Jesus. In your name we pray.